Parshas Chayisara, we are exposed to really lessons of the life of the Avos and the Imois. We know that in Parshas Chayisara, both Avraham Avinu and Sarah pass. And the Parshas Chayisara is really reflective of her life, what she meant to the world, what she left us. And many people think that when we study the Avos and the Imois, we're really just looking back in history and saying what they were and what they meant and how they lived their life. But it's really an incorrect idea. Because the reason why they're called Avos and Imois, mothers and fathers, is because just like biological parents give over to their children their traits, positive and negative, but we get our traits from our parents, that's how many of us work. So too, the Avos and the Imois gave over to us many of their traits. Positive, of course, they gave over to all of us. So we are walking with the DNA, with many of the wonderful traits of our Avos and Imois. So what are some of the great traits that they left us? Not just for them, but they left all of us to have. So we know this week's parasha and last week's parasha, when we talk about the passing of Sarah, so Rashi makes perhaps a very, very difficult statement for us to understand. Rashi says about Sarah's life, Kulam shavu l'tayva. They were all equal and they were all good. So if you had to go through history and pick a woman who had a very difficult life, I'd put Sarah way up there, at least top three, top five. Look at her life. Starting off, she was married to a rabbi. That's really difficult. That's the starting point. What happens next? She finally settles down and she gets to a community and her husband says, dear, pack up everything. Get away from the pizza stores. No more Chinese stores. We're going. Where? I don't know yet. Wherever God tells me. Not a simple thing. She does it. Then she gets captured not only by one king, she gets captured by two kings. Avimelech, she has a Paroi. Then she goes many, many years without having children. And on top of it, not only does she not have children, but her tzara, her second wife, her competition, has a son, which obviously makes things more complicated. And then she gets into a fight with Hagar, sends Hagar away. Hagar comes back. Then she finally has her baby. And then there's a fight between her and Avraham Avinu, how to educate him. Do we throw out Yishmael? Do we keep Yishmael? Oh, not simple. And then finally, when life seems to settle down, she dies. She never gets to walk Yitzchak down to the chuppah. She never gets to have any grandchildren. She never gets to go to the mother, granddaughter, Mava Malka. None of that stuff. So how can you tell me Sarah had such a great life?
Did she know about the Akedah?
Yes, according to Rashi, she found out about it, and that's why she died. That's what caused this massive heart attack. So how can you imagine that Sarah had a great life? Kulam shavu l'tayva. She had a horrible life. She had a very difficult life. So the answer is that Sarah Imenu was teaching all of us that we look at her life as negative because we have the wrong vision in life. We look at life as everything that I want that I don't get is bad, and therefore my life is bad. I want to have this, and I want to have that, and I want to have this right away, and I want to have this right now, and I don't get it. Therefore, I look at myself that I am living the worst life in the world. So I remained and worked backwards. So I remained and said, one second. If Hashem wanted me to have an easy life, He would have given me an easy life. If Hashem wanted me to have a child when I was 35, He would have given me a child when I'm 35. If Hashem wanted me not to fight with Hagar, He would have set it up that I'm not fighting with Hagar. It must be, says Yisara, this is the life that Hashem wants for me, and this is ultimately what's best for me. We work backwards, right? We want everything, and when we don't get what we want, we get all upset. She said, no. If I'm so in tune to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's needs and wants, and therefore my needs and wants are exactly His. So whatever I have, because Hashem wants me to have it. Whatever I don't have, because Hashem doesn't want me to have it. Therefore there was no negative. It was taka good. She was the happiest person you can find. Why? Because she felt that whatever she had is exactly what she needed. And more than that, she didn't need. And how did she know it? Because if she needed it, she would have had it. If Hashem thought it was right for her to have a child at 65, she would have had a child at 65. Hashem thought, not till 90. And if Hashem thought it was right for her to march Yitzchak down the aisle, Yitzchak would have gotten married earlier. Hashem had a different plan than hers. The problem with our life is, we don't like when our plan doesn't work out with Hashem's plan. Sarah didn't have two plans. So we have our plan, then we have Hashem's plan, we kind of like make it work together. To Sarah, there was one plan, Hashem's plan. There's no my plan, what do I know? I know what's best for me. I don't know anything. Whatever Hashem does for me is automatically best for me. Therefore, Sarah looked at her life. It was a beautiful life. The ups and downs weren't bad. This is exactly what Hashem wants for me. If this is what Hashem wants, there is no negativity in it. And that's a lesson that she teaches all of us. And it's passed down to all of us to feel like that. Not easy. When things don't go our way, we get very razzled and upset and frustrated. And why am I not doing what I want to do? And I want this type of house and this type of lifestyle. I want my kids to behave this way. And they're not. And it's very difficult to believe. And you say, why not, Hashem? The answer is because Hashem is saying, this is not what's best for you. For why? I have no idea. Nor did Sarah perhaps even know why. But that's what we believe, is that Hashem has a bigger plan and a much wiser plan than any plan we can ever think of. And that's why her and Avraham Avinu was such a good shidduch, because Avraham Avinu felt the same way. Later on in the parasha tells us, Hashem berichas Avraham bakel. Hashem blessed Avraham Avinu with everything. So there's a sheet in the Gemara in Baba Basra that Avraham Avinu didn't have a daughter. One sheet in the Gemara says she had a daughter, and one sheet in the Gemara says she didn't have a daughter. So Taisus has a kasha, if she had a daughter, why didn't Yitzchak marry that daughter? So the cute answer everyone says is because Yitzchak didn't want to marry a drasha. He wants to marry a real girl. It doesn't say anywhere she existed. She only existed because it's a drush in the word bakril. Yitzchak didn't want to marry a drush. He wanted to marry a girl that really, really exists. Okay, that's a cute joke. But why didn't Yitzchak marry his sister? There's numerous twists and given. But the Gemara says he didn't have a daughter. Asks the Ramban, so how's that a bracha? Hashem blessed Avraham with not having something. So in our minds, where's the bracha? Says the Ramban, because if Avraham Avinu would have had a daughter, you think we have a shidduch crisis today? Says the Ramban. He would have no one to marry her to. There were no good guys on the market. So what's the Ramban telling us? The biggest bracha for Avraham Avinu was not to have a daughter. So Ramban is telling us, sometimes we walk around life saying, why didn't I get this and why didn't I get that? Because that was the biggest bracha for you. Because if you would have had this, who knows how you would have been able to handle it. If you would have had this type of lifestyle, who knows where you would have ended up. Sometimes not getting something is the biggest bracha in the world. That was Avraham Avinu and Sarah's addition to the world. And that's what they teach us. Not getting something is not always a bad thing. We always say, what do you mean? I didn't get the raise. I didn't get the job. I didn't get the house. I didn't get the shidduch. Why? Because that was the best thing for you. Because if you would have gotten this house in this community, it would have been a disaster. If you would have married this girl, it would have been a disaster. If you would have gotten this job, it would have been a disaster. Now, we don't always know that. All the good stories only tell that to you later. In hindsight, you look back and you see. Sometimes you don't look back, and sometimes you don't see the hindsight. You don't know why it happened. But if you live with the emuna pshuta of Avraham Avinu and Sarah, so you say, it wasn't meant to be. Why? I don't know why. Because Hashem didn't want it to be. And how do I know? This is the best. Because it would have happened. If it was best, it would have happened. And the fact that it didn't happen is because Hashem didn't want it to happen. So that's what Avraham Avinu taught us in the parasha. But then Avraham Avinu teaches us perhaps even a more valuable lesson in life in this week's parasha as well. He teaches us that when he comes to deal with Ephron, you can imagine Avraham Avinu was in a bad place. And today psychologists would call that he's in a bad place. He just lost his wife tragically. He's very sad, very emotionally distraught. And now what does he have to deal with? A sleazy car salesman named Ephron. Right, trying to rip him off, make his life miserable. So most of us, in the regular world, when we're having a bad day, the world knows we're having a bad day. We snap at everyone around us. We snap at our wife, and we snap at our kids, and we snap at the people who work for us. Hopefully we don't snap at our boss, or our wife, depends how you look at it, but whatever the case is, we snap at whoever we think we can get away with snapping at, and no one's going to yell at us. Why? Because we're having a bad day. You have to understand, I'm having a bad day, therefore I can behave however I want because I'm having a bad day. Said Reb Dessler, Avraham Avinu taught us, he was having probably the worst day you can imagine. How did he treat Ephron? As nice as you can be. He never once told him where he can go. He never once told him off. He never once told him what I think of you. He never once said, you know who I am? Me, I'm Avraham Avinu. You're a nobody. Never once disrespectfully spoke to him. He spoke to him with such honor. Why? Because Avraham Avinu taught us that even when you're in a bad place emotionally and you're having a hard day and everything is going wrong, it's not a heter to treat other people subhuman. We have an obligation to treat everyone like a mensch, especially Yidden, especially Goyim, especially people we care about, family members and the like. It's not a heter because you're having a bad day. I mean, everyone thinks, I'm having a bad day, I can therefore do whatever I want. No, you're having a bad day and I'm sorry and I hope you can get through your bad day as best as you can. But it's not a heter. It's not giving permission to scream and yell at all those around you. Avraham Avinu taught us that's not always enough about Ben Adam L'Makom. Ben Adam L'Makom is very important. But Ben Adam L'Chaver, you have to be a mensch. You have to treat everyone with respect. Not only those people who look dignitary. Avraham Avinu took three Arabs into his tent and stopped talking to Hashem because he treated everyone with respect. Even Avraham Avinu was having a bad day. I think the day he went to the Maris Machpelah, he was having a bad day. He was having a difficult day. Things were rough. But nonetheless, he was a mensch. The entire way through, he never once raised his voice, never once gave attitude, never once yelled and screamed, never once did anything disrespectful. So Avraham Avinu is teaching us that even when things are tough, and Nebuchadnezzar, they are tough sometimes. We have those days when we're mad at the world. We're mad at everyone around us, and everyone around us is bad and evil, and, you know, we're just upset. So it doesn't mean that I have the right to then lash out at all those around me. That's what Avraham Avinu taught us. But then I think of one lesson from Avraham Avinu's life that I think is relevant as well. When Avraham Avinu came to deliver the eulogy for Sarah, so it's not exactly clear what the eulogy was. Many people say the eulogy was Eishes Chayil, that beautiful kapitel that we all say. Other people say the eulogy was Kulam Shavu L'Toivo. But there's a medrash that says the eulogy was Darsha Tzemer Ufishtim. Now what does Darsha Tzemer Ufishtim mean? She seeks out the Tzemer and the Pishtim to go make clothing for the children. What type of eulogy is that? So the Farshim say he was telling her that he was eulogizing Sarah as realizing the difference between Tzemer and Pishtim. What's Tzemer and Pishtim? She realized the difference between Yitzchak and Yishmael. He was acknowledging at the Levaya that Sarah saw that Yitzchak and Yishmael have to part ways. So why is it such a beautiful thing to say at the Levaya? Because how many times in life are we embarrassed to get up and say we made a mistake? Can you imagine what it meant for Avraham Avinu to get up and say, me, the great Avraham Avinu, was wrong in chinuch? That's what I do for a living. I go around giving advice, and I'm educating, and I'm getting up, and I'm saying, I got it wrong. She was right. Avraham Avinu is teaching us the godless of Ben Adam L'Chaveroi is sometimes getting up, if he didn't have to. He didn't have to do anything. He could have just spoke about how great she was and how terrific she was. He got up and he made a public display of how he was wrong and she was right. Why? Because he's teaching us. Interpersonal relationships sometimes require for a person to get up and say, I was wrong. I made a mistake. There's this misconception in the world that real men don't apologize. Okay? Real men don't get too far in the world with that attitude either. I mean, you don't apologize. Everyone apologizes. You make a mistake, you have to apologize. If one of you got up in front of the entire crowd that came to his Levi, that came to Sarah's Levaya, and got up and said, she got it right and I got it wrong. She understood Chinuch and I didn't. I made a mistake. She understood better. She had been in Yaseir. And that's what I think Avraham Avinu is giving over to all of us, that we have the ability to get up and admit our mistakes, although it's not easy, and be the ability to interact with others even when it's tough, even when it's difficult. We're having a bad day. Life is, can you imagine Sarah Maynard showed up every day to work? You think she was always happy? You know, all those days when she came back from the doctor said, nope, this month you're not pregnant again, and this month you're not pregnant. You think she was thrilled to show up to the Kiruv house and just start working? She was probably very, very disappointed. It's very difficult dealing with infertility and things like that. You think she was thrilled? Of course not. You think every day she was dancing? No, she was probably inside was very hard, but did she let it on? No, she never let anyone know. Now, they'll tell you today that's not healthy, and you have to let your feelings out. Okay, she probably did it to Avraham Avinu. She probably came and told Avraham Avinu, you know, it's very hard, and I'm sure Avraham Avinu was a very sympathetic husband. But did she let it on to others? No. Maybe she had a group of friends that she spoke to, I don't know. But she didn't let it on to the greater people who saw her, didn't see it, this type of thing. They say a story with Ibshlem Zalman Orbach. Ibshlem Zalman Orbach was in a hospital and a fellow comes out of the room where he just found out his wife had a baby. He comes over to Ibshlem Zalman telling how happy he is. His wife had a baby and Ibshlem Zalman is so happy for him and he's wishing him mazel tov. And then the fellow realized later that Ibshlem Zalman was in the hospital because his wife just passed away. And Ibshlem Zalman did not once let it on that he's going through his own personal tragedy. He was smiling with this guy, feeling his simcha. So that's what Sarah and Avraham Avinu did. They didn't let it on. Now again, today therapists will say that's not healthy. I don't know, whatever. You have to know. But nonetheless, the idea is still very true. Very often we wear our emotions on our sleeve and we think it's okay. Right? Our face is a rishus harabim, whether we like it or not. So if we're not going to greet people with a smile, it's not fair to other people. Now, yeah, if you're having a bad day, it's understandable, but it's not a heter. That's, I think, what Avraham Avinu teaches us, perhaps, in this week's parasha, that it's understandable, but it's not a heter. We have to be able to rise above it and be able to put our emotions aside for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. Okay. We're holding over here in a Gemara, which talks about Mila Shaloi Bizmanai. Let's say you have a baby that's not going to have the bris Bizmanai for whatever reason, and now the bris is going to take place after the eighth day. So the question is, can that bris take place on a Yom Tov? So the Gemara says, Amar Mar, number one, Yom Tov Eini Doiche El Bizmanai Bilvat. A Mila that's not Bizmanai is not Doiche Yom Tov. The only bris that can take place on a Yom Tov is a Mila Bizmanai. A Mila on the eighth day. Shekhti Gemara Kasha Minon Emili. How do you know? So we mentioned last week, that means the assumption is that you have some reason in your mind why it should be Deiche, and you want to know why it's not Deiche. Meaning you assume that a Mila and Yom Tov should be Deiche, even a Shalei Bezmanai, and now you want to know why it's not. So the Gemara gives three drushes. What I really want to speak about, and we spoke about this last week, but I really want to get to, is the Gemara has three drushes. The last drush of the Gemara was, Rav Ashi Omar, Shabbosin Asehu, Rav Ashi is concluding Svara, and there are other Tirutzim in the Gemara, but Rav Ashi's Svara is, you know how I know it? It's because of the classical rules of Asei Doich Alois Asei. What are the rules? Asei is Doich Alois Asei. But an Asei is not Doich Alois Asei Vasei. And since Yom Tov carries along with it an Asei and Alois Asei, so we have the rule, Ein Asei Doich Alois Asei Vasei, and therefore that's why Mila Shalei Bezmanai is not Doich on Yom Tov, because Yom Tov is an Asei and Alois Asei, and Mila is only an Asei. Now, the question that many asked last week is, why didn't the other Manda Amrim suggest this? All the other Manda Amrim, the Gemara has three other Terutzim, none of them come up with this logic. Does that mean none of the other Amoraim believe that Yom Tov carries a Aseh also? I mean, a person violates Yom Tov, what was the Oiver? Just a Lav? Or was the Oiver a Lav and an Aseh? So according to Rav Ashi, Yom Tov carries along with it an Aseh and a Lav. According to seemingly all the other Amoraim, it would sound like that Aseh, that Yom Tov does not carry. Thank you. That Yom Tov does not carry that, and it's just a Lav. It's hard to believe that because there's mashmois in Gemaras that Yom Tov carries along an Asei and Alois Asei. So I found the interesting Ramban Pashas Emor number 2. The Ramban Pashas Emor learns Pshan the Pasuk because it says in the Pasuk Shabbason. It says rest. Doesn't that sound like a positive commandment? So how could anyone disagree with Rav Ashi? Rav Ashi says Shabbason, when the Torah writes the word rest, that's a positive commandment not to do malacha. So you have Alois Asei, malacha, that's the negative. Shabbason is the positive, so you have an Asei and Alois Asei. Yet the other two shitas in the Gemara, you have Chizkiya, you have Abaya, and you have Ravo, all three of them, seeming none of them seem to acknowledge that Yom Tov is an Asei. Why not? So the Ramban writes in Chumash and Pashas Emor, a new pshat in the Pasuk, an interesting pshat in the Pasuk. What does the Torah mean when it said Shabbason, rest on Yom Tov? So according to the Gemara, it means rest, and if you do malacha, you're violating an Aseh. Says the Ramban, that's not Pshat on the Pasuk. The Pasuk is talking about something completely different. You know what the Pasuk is talking about, says the Ramban? The Nirali, number two. Shahamedrish hazel loyma shenitztavinu min ha-Torah liyas loymenucha b'yamtif. You know what the Torah is telling you? The Torah wants a person to rest on Yom Tov, not from the 39 malachas. That's not what the Torah means over here. It means va'afilu midvarim she'ena malacha. The Torah says, I want you to be in a state of rest on Yom Tov, even if the thing that you're doing is not one of the 39 malachas. Lo yishi yatriach kol hayoyim limdoi hatvuos v'lishkol haperos v'amtonos v'lamal ha'achov yisya'im v'lifnas ha'kelim v'gam avonim v'bayis labayis. Don't even do those things that are just what we call tircha. We know that certain things you're not allowed to do yomtiv because of tircha. Says the Ramban, that's not just drabbana, that's biblical. That's this pasuk. Shabbason doesn't mean don't do malacha. The 39 malachas you're not allowed to do because there's a lava of loisasu called malacha. So what's this Shabbason, Zok the Ramban? This is telling me that not only I have to be in a state of rest from strenuous activities that don't fit into the criteria of one of the 39 malachas. That's it.
More harm than Shabbos?
The fizeh, right? The fizeh would be more harm than the chamesh, right? It would come out that you'd have an isidah rice of tircha on yomtiv that you don't have on Shabbos. Correct. That's what's come out. Right, so you have to see if the Torah makes, if there's a similar drush to Shabbos on by Shabbos as well. So therefore says the Ramban, Avada, we're not disagreeing that there's an assay of Shabbos on, but what's it used for? So Rav Ashi used it for general malacha. The other Amoraim used it, no, to teach me that the assay of Yom Tov is not for malacha. The assay is even lower level. It's for those things that are not deemed malacha, but they're just deemed tircha, and those things as well, one is not allowed to do on Yom Tov. So in any case, yeah.
I think I've seen the other Amoraim disagree with Rav Ashi. You want to ask for a pasuk, so they gave a pasuk. The question, I think, was on Rav Ashi. What's he doing here?
That's the other way of saying it, right? The other way of saying it is that Rav Ashi was the chiddush.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone assumed like Rav Ashi from the get-go. Yeah, in Echanam. Gemara asks him, no one. Gemara wants to know, how do you know anything? Right, right. But the question is, it all depends on what your starting point is. We mentioned last week, the Ran learns the starting point was it should be Asay Dechalois Asay. To Rav Ashi, the answer was, it's not Asay Dechalois Asay. But yeah, in Echanam. So the question is, Lefizeh, according to Rav Ashi, that you can't do a mila shleib bismanoi klitz ain asay dechalaisa say, how do you do a mila bismanoi? How do you do any mila on Yom Tov? You have the same problem. Yom Tov is an asay and a loisa say, mila is an asay. How can you do a mila bismanoi?
On
Yom Tov. On Shabbos, the same question, Lefizeh. Shabbos also carries an asay and a loisa say. So according to Rav Ashi, that a mila shleib bismanoi is excluded because ain asay dechalaisa say vasay. And why is the mila bismanoi any better? So if you look in Rashi number 3, Rashi writes, but if it were to be a mila bizmano, israbi mi biyoy mafilu bi b'shabes. Says Rashi, that's a special exeris hakasif. Based on the rules of asay dechaloy sasei, you would not be allowed to do a mila on Shabbos or a mila biyomtiv, because ein asay dechaloy sasei vasei. Why are you allowed to do it? You only allowed to do it for one specific reason, because I have a special exeris hakasif mi biyoy that tells me I'm even allowed to do the bris on Shabbos as long as it's bizmano. There's no exeris hakasif shalei bizmano. Shalei bizmano reverts back to being asay versus loy sasei vasei. Okay. For what? Right, but the problem of you. No, the problem is if you're going to go that. I mean, the question is, what route do you want to tackle to figure out why mila is justified on Shabbos? So if you're going to go the route of asay dechalois, I say you're going to hit a block. Because ain't asay dechalois, I say vasay. So why are you going to permit? Meaning, according to Rav Ashi, you can't permit it. The only way you're going to permit it is because it's a special gzeres hakos. So let's talk a little bit about ain't asay dechalois, I say vasay. Yesh lodin. When you have an asay up against a lois, I say vasay, so you lose. Why? So we mentioned in the past, the Ramban says, because asays are more important than lois asays. Why are asays more? Asay dechal lois asay. So why can asay be dechal asay? So the Ramban has an idea that asays are ava, and lois asay is yira. Why do you do a positive commandment? Because you love Hashem. Why do you do a negative commandment? Because you're afraid of it. Why do you keep negative? Because you're afraid. Ahava is more important than yira. So writes the Ramban Chumash. So that's why an asay is actually more chashiv than a lav, even though we don't look at it like that. Because what do we measure everything by? Punishments. What's the punishment for bittul asay? Nothing. You bring a carbon. What's the punishment for a lav? You feel malchus. So we look at them as being more chomer, but it's not true, says the Ramban. That's why asay is deicha lois asay, but ain asay deicha asay. Now, what about when you have an asay versus a lois asay vasay? So do you say the asay is deicha the lav and you're just left with the asay? Or do you say, no. The asay goes nowhere and you're left with the lav and the asay. What's the nafkamina? Let's say you were to do a mila shalei bizmanoi on Yom Tov. Would you get malchus for it? Did you violate the lav of Yom Tov? And one of you said, no, I didn't, because asay, deicha lois asay. The asay of the mila knocked away the lav. So what am I left with? The asay. Okay, so I was mevatel on asay. Second level, Rabbi Kivega is going to discuss, is the mila even chal? Do we say the principle of kol mils da avad rachmana loisavi di avad loimahani? If the Torah says you're not allowed to do it, so then even if you try to do it, you attempt to do it, it doesn't go through. The Torah blocks it. So do we say the same rule over here by Mila Shel Bizman B'Yomtif, that the Torah would block the validity of the Mila? Because when if the Torah blocks the validity of the Mila, it could prevent me from being in violation of the Lav.
How come we didn't have that Shiloh with Nagar?
With? Okay, so we're going to talk about that in a second. So let's see.
What would you have to do then?
Hatafas Dambris, right? So let's see. There's, yeah.
An assay not being docha, another assay. How would that work? It's a practical example.
So, let's say you have again, the problem is there's not too many mitzvahs that carry assay. So it's hard to, you know, a tzitzis. Tzitzis is an assay, and klai and shan is a lav. So you don't have.
But that's an assay.
Right, right. You usually don't have an assay, doich assay. I don't remember the case offhand where you'd have an assay directly up against an assay. But here you have an assay versus a lois assay and an assay. So your assay, deich a lois assay, stays. Right. Right, the assay is not to do much. Right. Correct, correct. So there's a riva quoted by a Taisus in Chulin. Very important. There's a Taisus in Chulin that quotes a riva, the last omen in Chulin, Dafkuf Mem Aleph, he quotes a riva. The riva is going on the Gemara in Psachim. The Gemara in Psachim is talking about a case where you could do a Maisa Harisha, and you could be over many, many, many different Asurim. The Gemara goes, you can plow. And you can do a Maisa Harisha, you can plow and be over like 8 Asurim. It's Shvius, it's the animal is Klai, in all these creative ways. And one of the examples the Gemara gives, and the Gemara says, and it's Yom Tov also. Okay, it's Yom Tov also. So, Frek the Riva, number 4. Mikan kosho lefpirish Riva beperikelu oivrim, the Omar acharishaloi lechayiv. He has a kasha that you shouldn't be chayiv Malkus. The Gemara says you can get like 8 times Malkus. So the Gemara says, one of the cases is if you plow on Yom Tov. Frek the Riva, no, you're not going to get Malkus if you plow on Yom Tov. Why? Because you can actually dig up the ground and use that ground for the mitzvah, sasei of kisei adam. So therefore, you're not going to get Malkus for that. Aye, Freksha, what are you talking about? Vayomtiv asei v'lois aseihu. Even if I'm going to justify the asei of kisei adam, is doicha the lois asei of malach and yomtiv, but yomtiv has an asei also. So ein asei doicha lois asei v'asei. So how could the Riva say that I'm not going to get Malkus if I plow on yomtiv because asei doicha lois asei, but the Gemara says there's an asei here also. So it says Taisvis Gevaldik. What are you talking about? The tears, the nihi, the loydoch, ain't a chenami. It doesn't knock it away completely. Mihu am over al oisei lav, ain't a loike. You're never going to get Malkus. If you have an assay versus a lois assay vassay, and you do the assay, says Riva, you don't get Malkus. Why? The halav dochi. Because the lav did get pushed away. Hainim shem assay. Aval halav command alessa. The lav is not here. The assay dochi lay. The assay pushed it away. So how is the Riva understanding ein asei decha lois asei vasei? It doesn't push away the whole equation. You're still left with an asei, but it pushes away the lav. So if the lav is out, you can't get Malkus. So therefore says Taisvis, according to this, if you were to do a maisa harisha on yomtif, so since asei of kisei adam is decha lois asei of yomtif, you would not get Malkus. So plugging it back to our sugyo, if you were to do a mila shalei bezmani on yomtif, you wouldn't get Malkus. Because the lav was taken knocked away. The assay is still here. Okay, so you're mevatel an assay, but you're not over the lav.
What's the consequence of doing that assay?
Nothing. It's a bigger carbon. There's no malchus. The point is no malchus.
So from here we see not every time you do a los assay, you get malchus. So maybe you can be mechalak in general by assay.
Not every. One more time. Not every. You didn't do it. Because the assay was doichit. The assay was doichit the lav.
So let me ask you a question. When you said before, let's say if you do something you're over 80, so you get 8 times malchus?
No, it's 8 sibus malchus.
Right,
the point is there are 8 sibus on Malkus.
So what's the chiluk?
No, he's just saying, in Lomdus, there's no reason to get Malkus for this Maisa, because...
So what does that mean? Just klap Ishmael, Yadal, you get...
Whatever that means. The Shemus. That's the sugi of Ishmael, Shemus for Malkus. Uh-huh. How many different Maisim you can do. So what's the Tosis we're saying of Gvald Gechidish? He's saying that when we say, Ein Asei Doich Eloi Sasei Vasei, it's not really true. It means Ein Asei Doich Eloi Sasei completely. But the assay doesn't, it's like, you know, mathematics over here. It knocks off part of the equation, and the rest of the equation stays. What do you have left? You're left with an assay, but that lav is gone. Most of us would have learned the sugya that when you have an assay that's connected to a lav, it's mechazik the lav, in a way that the lav is now a stronger lav, and a zalav doesn't even get beat out by an assay. The Riva is clearly not learning like that. He's splitting the two. He's saying you have an assay, and you have a lav and assay, and they each go to battle. So the assay goes to battle against the lav, he beats the lav. When the assay goes to battle against the assay, he doesn't beat the assay, so you're left with an assay. So learns the Riva. So back to Argumar for a second. So an Argumar, if you were to do a Mila Shaloi Bizmanoi, L'chayra, you wouldn't be over a lav. What's the problem with that? It's against the Mishnah. So the Chassam Sofer discusses a Shailom in number 6, but before that, the Prima Gadim in number 5 discusses a Shailom. Says the Prima Gadim, Nistapakti, Misha Avaru Mol Mila Shaloi Bizmanoi Biyamtif, Him Loike Eilav. The Prima Gadim wants to know our Shaila. A person goes, Shaloi Kedin, and does a Mila Shaloi Bizmanoi Yamtif, would he get Malkus for it? Mehod Amr Ravashi, because based on Ravashi, who says Yom Tov Aseh V'Loisa Aseh, Veinas Edich L'Aseh V'Aseh, Yesh Loimar, the Dochi L'Loisa Aseh Al Kolponim, says the Prima Gadol, but at least the L'Loisa Aseh should be knocked out. And who does he quote? Keshitas Riva B'Toysin L'Chulin, like we just saw from the Riva. The Kosh Leidus, he has another Nafkemina. You should be Kosh Leidus. You weren't over any Lavim. That's a big nafkamina. So the Prima Gadim has this possibility that he thinks that based on this taisa that we just learned in our sugya, if you were to do a milish lib, his mind be yomtif, you didn't lose your halachic status because you were never a violator of a lav. Because I say it was dechalais I say. Unlike the other way of learning it, that the lav is still there and you violated the lav. The problem is that Chassam Sofer discusses Ishailo, and there's a Mishnah later on in the 19th parak that says, if you did a milish lib, his manoi be yomtif, so you have to bring a carbon. If you did it b'shoyge, you bring a carbon. And let's say you got the dates wrong. They call you to do a mila. You don't know. You didn't check out the dates. And lo and behold, it was talking a mila shal bezman to be yomtiv. So the Mishnah says, oh, got a bigger carbon, chatas bishigagasa. For yomtiv.
Why? This sounds like it's l'shitaso. Well, the assay is left, and you bring a carbon.
No, but the problem is, no, you bring a carbon. Frekta, so the shayel asked the Chassam Sofer based on the Mishnah in where is it? In Krisos. That's where it is, right? The only time you can bring a carbon chatas for a shigaga is if it itself carried a lav. But if it didn't carry a lav, you don't bring a karma chatos. So over here, according to this,
lav, of course.
But it doesn't have it over here.
By regular lav.
No, but but the point of it is this shaygi doesn't carry a lav because the asay was deichet, according to the riva.
Because
the Mishnah says if you did a b'shoygi, you have to bring a carbon. No, you didn't realize the date. They call you to the Mila. You show up to the Mila. They tell you, today is the 8th day. Fine, I do the Mila. And it was not right. Today was not the 9th day. It was Sholei Bezman. So let's see the Chassam Sofer. Says the Chassam Sofer.
Does that make a difference whether it's before or after the 8th day or not?
No. It's still going to be Sholei Bezman.
Isn't Bris Mila, though, in a different category from all other assays because...
You'd give him a brisis.
No, because it's totally on how you look at bris milah. Is the bris milah the act of the bris, or is it the removing the status of?
Yeah, but either way.
So even if you do, even if it's a lav, the person's still an RL. In other words, he's no longer an RL. So he's achieved that.
That's what we're going to talk about. But we're going to talk about that. If you did an invalid bris, so you have an invalid result.
What's an invalid bris?
If it was done in Yom Tov, it shouldn't have been.
Really?
We're going to talk about it. We're going to see. Reb Kivega has a nice discussion about this topic. So let's just first see the Chassam Sofer number 6. The Chassam Sofer and Reb Kivega were related, so we're keeping it in the family. Yeah, the Chassam Sofer married Reb Kivega's daughter. The Chassam Sofer had a first wife, and then his second wife was Reb Kivega's daughter. The Chassam Sofer, they were a year apart, the two of them. You went only a year apart between your father-in-law. The Chassam Sofer's first wife died, and all the kids that the Chassam Sofer had, I think he had 8 kids, and they all came from the second wife. They were all from Rebbe Kivega's daughter. They disagreed with each other, respectfully, of course, but they were father-in-law and son-in-law. So the Chassam Sofer writes at number 6, he says, well, it says, Toysus and Chulin, Shili Chulin, Dafagav, Deina, Se, Dech, Eloise, Se, Vase, Mikoma, Kama, Eloise, Se, Nidche, Veloi, Nishari, Ela, Se. Right, that was what we saw from the Riva. Again, we had no problem with the Riva and Lomdus, right? We all thought that it makes sense. Ein asei decholos asei v'asei just means that the asei loses to the asei, but the asei beats the lav, and what are you left with? After all the smoke clears, you left with an asei. Frek techsam seif, what are you talking about? V'imkei, delfizeh, hamol b'shabbos. So let's do a mila b'shabbos. Again, Shabbos is the same thing. Shabbos is also asei v'lois asei. You do the mila b'shabbos, sholei b'zmanei, ein ev b'lav, delois asei kom locha. You weren't any violation of the lav because the asei was deichet. Ela b'asei de Shabbason. The Ravashi, right? That we all agree so far. Frekta Chassam Sofer, but there's a Mishnah later on in Kof Lamed Daled. V'imkin Eich Yifar Nesugya Desha Deshnei Tinoikis. We spoke about this Mishnah. You have two babies, and they swapped the baby. Who should go which day? V'shocha Chomor Shalayev Shabbos B'Shabbos, and they gave the wrong baby the bris on the wrong day. They keep in the Lekka Karis B'Mezit. Frekta Chassam Sofer. In that case, it would not be Karis. It was done on purpose. Why? Because I say the Chalois I say Memeila Lekka Chatas B'Shegik. There's no Chiv Chatas when it's done by mistake. So Frek Techsam Sofer, so it's against the Mishnah. The Mishnah says if you swap the babies and you give the Shleibes money on Shabbos, you have to bring a Karma Chatos. Why? Even if I were to do this on purpose, I say it would still be Dechalais. You say there's no Lav, there'd be no Karis. So if there'd be no Karis. So if there'd be no Karis, be Mazid, there's no Chatos, be Shigigasa. So Frek Techsam Sofer, the Riva is against the Mishnah in our Perk. Gevaldik, a very, very strong Kasha from the Chassam Sofer.
And this applies even to the male that doesn't have the mitzvah just being a shaliach.
Correct,
there's a difference between the father who actually has the essay and the male who's just...
So the moel is in fulfillment of the asay in the place of the father. He's doing the action, so he carried the asay, and the lav, the iser, he's for sure carrying because he's doing the mice, right? So he'd say asay the chalais.
Could you
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. So if you, not saying to you, but if you, because it, maybe the same rules don't apply.
And with, in regard to what? Which din?
Into how the
I say the say. So that's what we saw last week from Taisus. Taisus said that's why you can't learn out from Hilchot Tarikula that I say the chalais say vaaseh because of the gimel brises. But even in bris, we're limiting it to how far we're going to extend it. I say the chalais say. So as the Chassam Sefer answered this, Gvaldik Akasha says the Chassam Sefer. So he writes no. He says that even though it says in Shavuos, V'yachinol shnuyei chayiv ala karis k'mavor b'harois v'meisil ha-resh perik beiz v'shavuos, ela kocha klolo d'resh perik kama d'krisis, so the rule that we have in the mission in the beginning of krisis, which is, shaloi matzinu karis al mitzvah she'ena asei, we have a rule, you can't have karis on a mitzvah asei. He says, no. That, what are the only two aseis that carry karis? Pesach u'milu. So Tim, avol be'enach kula isbuhu lavin. No. The other ones have a lav with them. Afilu asein shebehem b'zebar. Says the Chassam Sofer, not so fast. When do we say you can't? That's if there's no asay here from the, it's just an asay from the get-go. Over here, I started off with a lav. Even though the lav was nidche, but Lamai said start off. So he's like taking the rivo and limiting the extent of the rivo. He's saying, when do we say you'll never get kares only for Mila and Pesach? That's if the asay starts with an asay and ends with an asay. But if the asay started with a lav, even though the lav got knocked off, but it started with a lot from the out of the gates. Azad type of asay is a higher level, and it will be able to carry kares. So learns because Shabbos has a lot. The asay knocked it out because of the asay of Mila. So we took the revolt literally. That means it's gone, never to be seen again. And now look at just an asay. Says the Chassam Sofer, no, it had a lav, and because it started off with a lav, now this asay could be an asay that carries kares, an exception to the rule that can carry kares. So his shver in Kiveger wants to know a different shiloh. Number 7. Says Rabbi Kiveg.
He's saying any time you have a din with a lav and an asay, that asay is going to carry kares?
Potentially could.
Potentially.
That's
not
right.
Every,
not always. Correct. At least that's why over here he's taking the rivah and making it work with that Mishnah later on. So Rabbi Kiveg declared the following shiloh. Madin is topic, mimol b'shabbos lo b'zman. Let's say again, mila b'zmano shaloi on Shabbos. It's not day 8, it's day 9, the mother doesn't know it, no one knows anything, and they give the baby the bris on Shabbos. Okay, so what would we say to it? We're big lamdan, we'd say, what do you mean? I say, dechalois, I say, well, we clear all these types of lamdish as far as, but the shayla Rabbi Kiveg was dealing with is what? Imamrina be'da ovid loy mahani. Do we say that if the chazal pull the mila, and they say that the mila was never valid, they can save you from the violation? You know, there's a famous machloikis in Temura about kol milstav rachman loy sabr. If the Torah says don't do something, and I do it anyways, does it go through? What's it relevant to? Because sometimes if the Torah pulls it and says what you did was not valid, then you didn't transgress the Isser that you attempted to do it. Because sometimes the Isser is totally in the Chalois that you wanted to do. Now, is that true over here? If Chazal say the meal is not Chal, did you still over the Isser of Chaval on Shabbos?
It seems so. Physically,
Why not? Oh, good. So Kivega says, one second. What happens over here? Do I say the principle that will invalidate the meal? So what do we gain by invalidating the meal? So normally, if you invalidate the chalois, the mafreya, the iser, didn't take place. So he wants to know over here, v'habikilo nechtach or me'atzmoy. Oh, that's going to be very much told what the iser of meal is. So said Rabbi Kiveg, do we look at it as if it was cut on its own? Do you look at this as an invalid bris to the extent that you'd have to have tzarech la'atav menadam bris or not? That was the shayla Rabbi Kiveg was discussing. So what's his first maramachim they discusses? One second, look at meal for a second. What happens if you shecht on Shabbos? Shecht on Shabbos. Is the shechit invalid?
Meaning
is the meat not kosher now? So if we invalidate the shechita, would we apply the rule by invalidating the shechita? Besides for that, that's one issue. That's an issue of a knas.
We're
going to get to Kriyas HaBegin in a second. The question is, when you go through Maaseh HaShabbos, does it sometimes make sense to say invalidate the chalois by therefore preventing the Isser from happening? If I tell you the shechita is not kosher, will you over an Isser on Shabbos?
It depends on the nature of the
malachas.
You focus on the
Maaseh,
focus on the result.
Again, it's the Tzilas Neshama, right? The animal's still dead.
Exactly.
So says Reb Kiveger, "Umahid is sheichet b'Shabbos shchitas k'shei." The Gemara says in the Chulin that when you shecht an animal, shaloi kedin on Shabbos, which you're not allowed to shecht on Shabbos, the shchita is still kosher. I v'loy amrina d'loy mahani v'avikin chibam. I'm afraid, Reb Kiveger, why don't you just say the shchita is not valid, and it's like a dead animal, it's like a treifel? Says Reb Kiveger, no, shani hasan de'ena aveira tolu b'shchita. Because over there, the Aveira has nothing to do with whether or not the Shechita is valid. Because even if the animal would be a puzzle or animal for Shechita, you still violated the Shabbos. Why? Because you're killing the animal, did accomplish something. What did it accomplish? It made it no longer Eva Menachai. Now, I didn't accomplish it to the extent that I can eat it, but at least it's no longer Eva Menachai. So therefore, it's no longer Mekalkal. It was a productive act. So if it was a productive act, so undoing the validity of the Shechita will not undo my act.
Right,
I mean, in a way,
you know,
I mean, it's still alive. It has to be still alive.
You didn't cut
the proper way. Because it still wouldn't be Eva Menachai. The animal's still dead. Craig's point is the point.
But it wasn't a positive act.
Right, but the point is I did accomplish something that now wasn't just a destructive act, because now I made this animal edible for Goyim, or edible for people who wouldn't be Eva Menachai.
It's not Mekalkal. But for Goyim, could you do
that? No, the point is it's not Mekalkal. We're trying to figure out if the act was just destructive.
Even Mila, if now
you're
going to take
it away,
so now you have a real...
So we're going to come to Mila in a second. Good. What? Oh, one second. So that's totally in what the Isra Shabbos is. Well, let's see. So that's where Kveg is Raya's first case. Then he says, why? The animal's dead. So what's going to make a difference? Says Kveg, when it comes to Mila B'Shabbos, the Aveira and the Mitzvah are connected. Why? Because if you just cut a person on Shabbos for no purpose, sometimes they slice them. Sugar them. You cut people. So you're not over Issa Deraisa, believe it or not. You might be crazy.
But what was an exception?
One second. The reason why by Mila it's a problem is because you're accomplishing something. But if I tell you your accomplishment was not a valid accomplishment, so you weren't accomplished anything. If you didn't accomplish anything, you just did destructive. If you just did destructive, you're not over Issa. So says Rabbi Kivegi, maybe we should go back and pull the Mila. By pulling the Mila, you did nothing of Chelo Shabbos, and we saved the year from being Mechal the
Shabbos. Because it accomplishes something?
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right, because he did something. If not,
so
it's just
indiscriminate cutting is.
It was is a makalkel, which is aser b'derabanan makalkel. What?
Not
total, again, if this is not a maisa mila, then all you did was you cut the baby for no reason.
No,
why not?
Even though you don't have the maisa mila,
go back and now
you do have Thomas Dambris.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, and that is much less than actually
the Orlo.
Yeah, but then what you did didn't accomplish anything.
It
why?
How's it so that even somebody who's not a mumon can do it?
No, but that doesn't change the status of the baby. As far as the baby is concerned, he still can't eat truma. You just made the medical procedure easier. Fine.
Medical benefits to me. Maybe
that's a tikkun, but for us, but for us, it doesn't help us. We look at it.
Maybe the person wanted to.
I think for us, yidden, the tikkun is going to have to be what makes you an ois oral, not just because now you won't.
Removing the oral, he did accomplish.
No, but it's not kosher. It wasn't done shalakadin. It's useless. He's an oral like any other baby's an oral. He's the same kid who has
still an oral, even though
it was done shalakadin, 100%. I shouldn't say 100%,
so
but yeah.
Really stumble. What we've been saying until now, when I say Dechelosa says Pshat, did you remove the whole Maiser or you just removed the Isser?
Where's their Machalikas here?
What seems to be
no, there, no, they're talking about there's no Machalikas over there. They're talking about different things. Kveg is talking about the Yavadoy Mahani, Stephen Shail.
What's this removing the Mila that we're going to remove the status of it being the Mahal?
Yeah, we're going to validate it.
We invalidate.
Yeah, that's a chap of Yavad Le'mahani. We Chazal can say this Mila B'Shabbos is no good. Yeah. That's the power of Chazal. Have the power to tell you, just like blow Shefer on Rosh Hashanah when it falls out on Shabbos. That's the power of Chazal. So B'Kivegah says, listen to this guy. It gets even better. It says B'Kivegah im ken yishlemer bezed b'mol sholei b'zmanei b'Shabbos tolei mahani v'tzorach adav l'mbris v'lo yinisak in gavra. I'll tell you that you did nothing to this baby. V'avim mekalka v'lo yinatzam l'chol Shabbos. But I don't have time to look into it. I don't have enough time, says Kveger. I'm busy, I'm running a town, right? I'm a Rav in Posen, I don't have time for these things, so I ain't shot. But he goes right to Kveger, he doesn't end there. So he writes like this, he has another one, this is Shiloh. Says Reb Kveger, "V'hinei yesh lodin oid." It's amazing. Reb Kveger and the Chasam Sofer, they wrote these shaylos for practical things. We use them just for lomdas. It's we don't use them so much for practical halacha.
They wrote the shaylos. It wasn't brought.
I'm saying these shaylos were written for halacha lamaisa. They weren't written for
They made them up.
No. They were written. They were sent, and they were like igus moish, used for halacha. We don't use them halacha lamaisa. We use them for lomdas. It's an interesting thing. So Reb Kveger goes another angle. He says, "Vehine yesh lotanoid." The tzarich lahavta tam bris mitam to have a mitzvah ba baveira. Wow. Says the kivegi, maybe you have to do a tam bris because it's mitzvah ba baveira. You have no right to do this bris mila. You're in a violation. So we have a rule: mitzvah ba baveira becomes invalidated. So the bris become invalidated under the banner of mitzvah ba baveira. Now, without getting into the entire sugya mitzvah ba baveira, I already see everyone's mind is running through the sugyas and sukkah. I don't understand mitzvah ba baveira, gavra, chetz, the lumnus, and here in the head, the drushes, the psukim. The kivegi goes a little simpler for us.
How'd you know what we were?
I can see people's minds. Be careful. I know what goes on in everyone's mind.
Exactly. Yeah. Is that
yeah, it's a different shaila. Meaning, this is different than the Yavadloi Mahani. The Yavadloi Mahani means we'll validate. Here we're saying, no, you can't by definition accomplish a mitzvah by doing so, you validate. It's impossible. It's not the way you can't benefit by doing an aveir. So says Rabbi Kvega here also.
One thing, so according to this, would every Essay Dochalosa say,
yeah,
okay, possibly be a mitzvah ba baveira?
Yeah, that's what he's suggesting. Right? No. No. When it's not doiche. Mila sholoi bizmanoi is not doiche.
Right.
So it's right. It's not essay doiche lesa say, it's ain essay doiche lesa say.
Right, we say that you just take off the isser, but you know what I'm saying? You didn't accomplish what you wanted to,
fine,
but
so
it still remains.
So you still violated it. Right. So according to that, you still violated an assay. That's also an isser. So you still say mitzvah ba baveira on the assay.
So I'm committing status of oral is not defined simply as the surgical procedure.
For sure.
Defined as being done.
Done halakhically correct.
All the people walking around, let's say, who are fry, but they had a medical procedure, they're still oral.
Depends who did the medical procedure and when it was done. In Echanabi. If it was done by a lady, it's not kosher. If it was done by a guy, it's not kosher. If it was done at the wrong day, it's not kosher. 100%. They're not really gemalt. They're really not gemalt. They think they're gemalt. They're not really gemalt. So
they think about it.
All right, whatever. It becomes a big when you deal with Balei Tshuva. Those people that deal with Balei Tshuva,
don't they automatically do it?
So I think they do. I think almost for everyone they do another Tavas Dan Bris.
Right.
There was a Rav that was saying that he was in a room with a ger. He said, "There's only one person in this room I know for sure had a real geris. It's the ger. I was there. The ger got a real nice amitla. And the rest of you, I don't know. You're all Balei Tshuva. I don't know where you came from. Maybe you did have a good bris. You didn't have a good. I think that's the practice with Balei Tshuva today. So Kvega wants to know mitzvah ba avera. So one second, mitzvah ba avera. So shouldn't that invalidate the shechita? You do a shechita b'Shabbat, you should validate the shechita on mitzvah b'aveira. So it says b'kveiga gevald the columnus. Right, shechita is a mitzvah. That's a question. That's a question. If it's a matter or a mitzvah. We spoke about that when we did gittin. When we learned gittin many years ago, when we spoke about that, is a get a mitzvah or is a get a matter? Is the pshat that giving your wife is actually a mitzvah, or just if you want to get out of a marriage, the only way to get out of it is through a get? Right. Same thing with shechita. I don't have to eat meat, but if I choose to eat meat, so that's a big question if it's a mitzvah. So Reb Kvega discusses another Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara says, Hakareya al Mesai. If Nebuch, a person does kriya on, he rips over the passing of one of the Zion Kriyim, or people don't know this, but if you're a doctor, or if you're in a medical emergency field, if you're at the time when a yid dies, you also have a chiyuv kriya. People don't know this. I don't know why not. It's a halacha and shulchan aruch based on a gemara that if you're in the room and someone dies, a person is supposed to do kriya. If it's a yid, you have to do kriya on them. If you're in the room with them,
even if you're not related.
Even if you're not related, b'shas misa, a person is supposed to do kriya. So that's why a lot of people leave. It's an ironic thing. People don't want to ruin their shirts, so they leave. And they leave the mace alone. That's also wrong. The Gemara says you're not supposed to leave a mace to die alone. You're supposed to have someone there with them. You can take your shirt off. So there's a head to, I think the Tzitzeliezer is a tshuva somewhere where he talks about that the doctors, they're wearing the lab coats, that's not their coat. They don't own the coat. So if they don't own the coat, they're not allowed to do kriya on
it. They have a shirt underneath?
Maybe they have to do. I don't know. I got Hatzalah members. I think know about this. So those that work in Hatzalah, or those that work in the emergency rooms, the doctors, they should. I think so. Unless I'm missing something, that's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. I don't know. But in any case, so Hakarei al Meisoy, the halach is you have to do kriya, but you don't do kriya on Shabbos. You're not allowed to rip on Shabbos. That's one of the halachas. So what happens if a guy didn't listen to halach? Doesn't halach? He was kriya on Shabbos. What happens now?
So from they knew that halach.
Right. You know. Exactly. He didn't know this one. So he writes over here. There's a famous very gishmaki Yerushalmi. It says over there, it says, I'm the nearly the Gamzainer. If Kvega thinks that there's no mitzvah ba baveira by doing a bris sholei bizmanai on Shabbos Yom Tov, why? The guy rips a beged over the passing of a family member, so he violates the Shabbos, but he still yates to the Kriya. The $1 million cash is, why is it not mitzvah ba baveira? So again, we could spend probably weeks and weeks on this sugya alone. Why this sugi is not mitzvah b'aveira? But he quotes the Beis Yosef, he quotes the Yerushalmi. Vayim Beis Yosef Yerdei Hevi Yerushalmi. The Be'em is Parach, Ma'ish Lami Matzah Gzula. Why is it any different if a guy walks into a store and he steals the matzah? So that's called Matzah Gzula. Matzah Gzula is possible because of mitzvah b'aveira. What's the difference between Matzah Gzula and Kareya Al-Meisei B'Shabbos?
Why do you say on the flip side, it's a, instead of mitzvah baba vera, it's an essay derchalosa. Say a los sigzo, but not eating the matzah, which is an
essay of what?
It didn't come at the same time.
It's not beidna. The essay is to eat it. You stole before.
You know, it's got to come at the same
beidna,
time.
Yeah.
And what is the question?
The question. Oh, over here. Or Michael's question?
Before Michael.
Before.
Sorry, I interrupted.
The question over here is why if I rip a, why if one rips a beggar on a family member who dies, he's yaitz to the mitzvah of kriya, but he violated his fears. So that should be mitzvah baba veira. Why is it different? The guy walks into the grocery store, steals a box of matzah, and he eats the matzah, that's mitzvah baba veira. What's the difference between this one and this one? They're both, the aveira brought about the mitzvah.
So they're different.
Why?
Because by kriya, the kiyum of the mitzvah and the avera are simultaneous. They're one and the same.
Okay.
By matzah, the law of stealing is separated from the mitzvah of eating.
So it's better or worse, you're saying?
I'm just saying there's a difference. 100%.
I agree with that. Chilek. The question is, which way does it go? You're saying that matzah, therefore, is...
I would say that if you're doing it, both the iser and the avera...
Come at the same...
Both the avera and the mitzvah are done at the same time.
We say mitzvah, worse. But that's against the Gemara.
Yeah. I'm just,
I think what you're saying is true, but the problem is in our case...
It inherently invalidates it because it couldn't have done... Right?
What you're suggesting is that when it happened at the same time...
You could have done the mitzvah without doing the Avera by matzah.
You could have eaten other matzah. You could have eaten
other matzah. It's not like between matzah gzula and matzah that you carry through Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, that's another issue that we have to talk about, which we're going to get to also. Again, this week we're getting very sidetracked. Well, let's see Rabbi Kiveger. Says Rabbi Kiveger, the Be'em is Parach. Yeah.
How does it work? Mitzvah Baba Vera always has to come in.
Yeah.
How about Asei Dechol also say?
No, no, no.
Does that
have
to come
in? No, no, Asei Dechol also say is only bidden. That's what the Gemara says. That's Asei Dechol also say.
Now, how about
that's always the question. Every time you come to the Sukkah Mitzvah, you always have to ask yourself, is it the same time or is it not? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Sukkah Gzula is not bitten, right? I still the Sukkah.
That
was my Hakdoma that we're not getting to the Mitzvah.
So therefore you'd be Yotze then.
That's a question. If it doesn't always have to be bitten for Mitzvah there, right? It doesn't always have to be bitten. It has to be Pashas that without the Avera, I wouldn't have been able to do the Mitzvah. She said, I wouldn't have stolen the Sukkah, I wouldn't have been able to. The kriya, here it is, right? The moment that the person's doing the kriya, that's the moment he's violating the Shabbos. So says Rabbi Kiveger.
You can't do kriya afterwards, can you?
Yeah, I'm saying you do it the next day when it's not Shabbos anymore. That's what you should have to do.
Even if you're in the room with someone?
Yeah, but you
No. Right, no, then you wouldn't. But I'm talking about for one of the seven relatives. Yeah, obviously, once a person leaves the room, he no longer has to do the kriya.
So remember on Shabbos, if the person dies,
they don't do kriya. No, absolutely not, right? I just had Abraham in my neighborhood. Had a fellow who coded, so there was quite a few Atzala members there. But they don't do Kriya on Shabbos. Yeah, they should, as far as I know. I don't know what's Atzala's problem.
You know, it's interesting.
What's Atzala's policy?
I've been in for almost 30 years, and we've had Rabbi Zolner.
And what did he say?
I have to ask him.
He never spoke about it.
Nabuch, I've been there a number of times,
and they never spoke about it.
I've never seen anybody. Really? Anybody said, "All I know is the Kohanim work out."
That's
I'm going
to
ask.
That's Rabbi Zolner about that. That's I thought that's the accepted. I thought that's
my amratzus. I never.
I thought that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. I think I thought
no,
that's
no,
all.
I asked this week.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Let's find out for us. But I thought that was accepted.
Family members are supposed to be tear kriya then also.
Yeah, I think they'll do then, and they might have to tear again later. Also, I think at the kavura. I think, if I'm not mistaken. I think so. Okay, in any case, so back to Rabbi Kiveger. Back to more positive thoughts. Okay, says Rabbi Kiveger. So why is it different than Matzah Gzula, the Eini Yoitz Mishim Dav Mitzvah Aveiro, Mishani? This is all Yushalmi. Temin Gufa Aveiro, Hacha Hu Oysa Aveiro. One is actually an Aveiro, and one is he did an Aveiro. Kachan Hu Oimrim Hoitzi Matzah Mishisa Yochel Shizrab, Meini Yoitzi Dechavasa Bepesach. You tell me if a guy carries the Matzah Mishisa Yochel Shizrab, he's not going to be Yoitzi the Matzah, the Mitzvah. So what's this all about? Says Rabbi Kiveger, Pirush Rabbi Yosef, who derech echoch, the havade behoitzi hamatzah mishnah yochel shes rabim the vade yotz. Says Rabbi Kiveger, of course, the guy carries his matzah mishnah yochel shes rabim. That's not matzah ba'aveira. Why? Vakorcha tam dein guf aveira. That's not itself an aveira. Vimkin zechinu ledin the gam bezeh b'mol b'shabbos shleim bezmanoi tkim dein guf aveira less ba mishum mitzah ba'aveira. And I want to take what exactly Rabbi Kiveger means over here.
But it's stolen matzah. It's labeled
exactly. This is much of what we call chevtza, right? There's something be'isser. There's something tainted. Is a chevtza of gzeil done to this ma'aser matzah? This matzah is tainted of gezel. It's bad. It's pusel. It's thrown out. Mashenkin, this matzah is kosher matzah, which happened to have been used shaloi kedin to be carried to be transported from one place to another. Again, it needs more. I'm just bringing this out to bring this out. But this is a kveges chiluk. That is different when the act is bad.
Yeah.
The,
yeah.
Let's go back to our original shayla. Why don't we say loy mahani on the kriya? If we invalidate the kriya, so then the guy would never be yoyver because it'll just be mekalkel. Meaning he's saying this, but etzem, it's not really an iser. It's only an iser because of the day of the time of what you're doing it. The act of kriya is not besoide an iser. Stealing is always wrong and always bad and always traifs up the thing. Now, so is Haitzam and Shayachal Shas Rabbim. But okay, put that in.
No, it's his man.
Okay.
Monday.
Right. So they have a Sedra B'Kiveg, if you're going to go with the Swarov, Yoyim Kagaram, so then you understand what's intrinsically bad and what's bad because of the situation. So they have a Sedra B'Kiveg, so Mila is not intrinsically bad. Right. Mila is not intrinsically bad. It's a beautiful thing. It happens to be at a bad time to do it. It's Shabbos. If it's Sedra B'Kiveg, you wouldn't say Mitzvah B'Aveira. You also wouldn't say Yavid Loi Mahani.
Like
no, stealing is bad. Stealing by definition is bad.
I didn't steal a sukkah per se. I stole some that's
more complicated. That's already Shinoi Shailas. If you were Mishtane, you changed it, already you have other things.
So then you're
it. Might be more difficult. A guzzle in the Gemara's room bed, I took a whole sukkah and I stole it.
That's one case. Or I kicked the guy out of his sukkah. That's the other case. That's right. So that would be. So if you, let's go back to Yavad Leimahani. If I tell you that the meat is not kosher, you're still over. The meat was still cooked. So therefore, there's a different din. There's a knas, the Rabbanon, for violating Yisur Man Shabbos. That's a separate issue. That's mid Rabbanon. Okay, now let's go a step further with this Milash Lebezmanai Sugya. Maybe a little off the beaten path, but it's fascinating nonetheless. I found the Daz Kanim, Mibali HaTaisis, one of the Bali HaTaisis, on Pashas Lech Lecha. He writes the following. When did Avraham Avinu have his Bris Mila? What day of the year? What day of the year was it? So he writes it was Yom Kippur. Says the Daz Kanim. Who was the moil? This is Jewish geography. Who was the moil of Avraham Avinu's Bris Mila? It wasn't Pesach Kron, believe it or not. So Shem Ben Noach, according to Gamliel. I don't make this stuff up, guys. That's why I give you out the Maamar Kremes. I don't want anyone to think I make it up. Right? So if you look at number 8, But see, Rabbi Gamliel Oimer, Sholach Avraham Vikar L'Shem Ben Noach. Avraham Avinu sent an email to Shem Ben Noach. Umal Loisoy V'es Yishmal Benoy. And he performed the mila for him and Yishmael. Umahu be'etzem b'gvurasa shayoyim v'lo yoyd ela be'esr shachodesh hashvi hu yom kippurim. And not only that, says the Daz Kanim, the bris took place on Yom Kippur. Well, how do I know? Because it says over here the word be'etzem. V'nemer lahalon tanos avshaseichem be'etzem hazeh ma'al halon yom kippurim avkeim yom kippurim. U'b'chol shon v'shon says the Daz Kanim. And every single year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu roi dam b'yisar shavam avinu u'mechaper lon akol v'neseinu. Beautiful. Every year we get an extra additional slich v'kapor because that was the day of Avinu had his bris mila. V'itma b'reishis rabo shenot la'avram sakin v'ochaz bar losoi. Another version in the b'reishis rabo that Avinu took the knife himself. And he wanted to cut. He was afraid. He was afraid. He was no youngster. Hashem helped him. So we have two versions. And who did the bris? Was it Shem ben Noach, or did Hashem help Avraham Avinu do his own bris? Fine, beautiful, terrific. Ah, gevaldik. So I found over here in a sefer called Eish Tamid on the next page where they quote from the Brisker Rav. Said the Brisker Rav, 1 second. Why did Avraham Avinu, according to the first pshat, why did Avraham Avinu have to call Shem ben Noach? Listen to this Brisker Rav. He says, why did Mehai time Hutzach Avraham Avinu call Shem ben Noach Shem Aloysom? Kibun di Emaki Purim Haya, Umila Shalai Bezman, and Edei Cheshav Ziyamtif. Avraham Avinu was represented with a major Lomish dilemma.
Who says Shalai
Bezman? Okay, we'll get to that in a second. We'll get to that. But there never was a mitzvah before. It's a Lomish Shaila. It's a very Lomish Shaila. We'll get to that in a second. The Brisker Rav assumes, and we're going to see there's much room to argue, the Brisker Rav assumed that Avraham Avinu was a Midrash Bezman. So Avraham Avinu was told to do a Midrash Bezman in Yom Kippur. It's not Deiche. So therefore, says the Brisker, this is the Brisker Rav, supposedly. I tried looking it up, I don't have this copy. I trust this fellow that he has this Brisker Rav in stencils on Saita. But the Brisker Rav said Avraham Avinu held there was a problem of Midrash Bezman. So what did he do? He called Shem Benoach because it's amazing. We think of Shem. Ah, so Mila Nochri was fine. Ah, so Mila Nochri was okay. Ah, so 1 second. So just let's digest this.
But a Nochri can do the.
Oh, Givalik. So let's just digest this Biskarov for 2 seconds. Biskarov is saying, according to the first opinion of the Daz Kedim, that B'davka Avim Levinu called Shem Enoyach. Why? Because he didn't want to do it himself because he held Midrash of Bizman is not the Chiyomtif because of our Gemara like Yavashi.
How was
this
Shul Bizman if Hashem commanded it?
Okay, good. So we're going to assume that.
He could have called Mamre. He was much closer and he was a real Mamre.
I don't know. Maybe he didn't trust Mamre. Mamre was a guy. No question.
He was a guy. And
how could you have a guy? He's a man.
1 second. So Frank, this fellow in the Sefer Eish Talmud, this fellow has 2 kash. He says, 1 second. He says, "Bemonishach, if this is an option, so why don't we do this every Shabbos? Every Shabbos and every Yom Tov, if we have a meal, why do we start hacking at Chaynik about let a guy do it? If a guy doing it is a viable option, so then let a guy always do it. Then we have a rule: if you don't have to be mechal Shabbos, don't be mechal the Shabbos. So why do we ever need a meal of Bizman to be deicha Shabbos Yom Tov? If you learn from Avraham Avinu, let the guy do it. The other kash is this is very strange. We know Avraham Avinu kept Kala Tarakula, but we also know Avraham Avinu kept Kala Tarakula as he saw fit. So if Hashem told him today you do a Bismillah, Hashem is saying, I want you to do a Bismillah today. So you don't work with all these lamdas shechashbain. So this fellow who wrote the Sefer comes up with a nice chapi, writes, Venira, the kusha achas mishavis bechaverta. The vada lidi don, the onomuchuyavim lishma shabbos v'yom. We have a chiv to keep Shabbos. Now Avraham Avinu didn't really have a chiv. Avraham Avinu really didn't have a say in Alois Aseh. He did have an Aseh of Mila. He did have an Aseh of Mila. So if anything, the Aseh of Mila should have beat out the Lois Aseh Vaaseh. So it says like this. We have a real Chi of Aseh Vaaseh Aseh. Therefore, ain't Shaykh Loim and the Kaim Mitzvah. We can't use a Nochri. They keep in the Aseh Lomel Mila Shabbos Manam Shabbos Gim Lekker Shabbos Mitzvah Mila Klal. He says because for us, the Pshad is that there is no, he's talking about really Shalab Ismana, you use a guy. He says because there's no Mitzvah. Therefore, there's no mitzvah, there's no reason to use a guy. For after Yeshe Chetim Salomo Shloi Be'isu can I de Akum, Oy B'shnaim She'osu, Mikomakam Shabbos V'yamtev Mufko'im Mitzvahs Mila Shloi Bezmane. For us, Mila Shloi Bezmane doesn't exist, it's not a mitzvah. Again, this might be telling everything we said for the last half an hour, if it is a mitzvah, not a mitzvah. But he's assuming the reason why there's no option to use a guy is because why bother using a guy? It's not a mitzvah. The mitzvah was somewhat plucked from the situation when it's Shloi Bezmane. That's what we spoke about for the last half an hour. He never really had mitzvahs. He had no aseva lois aseh. He just had the mitzvah of mila. He did everything mitzvah kumis. Mila he had to do. That was the only mitzvah he did have at the moment. He really should have done it on Yom Kippur because he had a real mitzvah of Mila and only a watered down Aseh V'lois Aseh. Says this fellow, that's the difference between us and Avraham Avinu. We don't have a mitzvah mila shleib esmane, so therefore we don't have an option of using a guy. But Avraham Avinu really did have the mitzvah, and really he should have.
Wasn't a mitzvah shleib esmane.
So if you look at number 10, I brought a quote from a sefer Bris Ephraim. He has a kasha. What does Taisus say? Havi bepeker de balaz a shavram nimo yemek yipurim. They view oy that the eshenimo betetzav of nisan. There's different opinion. You got a bris on Pesach. Avari milah shabbos mana in the deichi yomtiv. V'yitochin sheish niyash. V'loim the kibin she'oz nistav la milah. Shemiyim shetivu akolish baruch umolatzme. Imkin I raise that kemila bezmana. That's the machlokes. That's the machlokes. However, the Das Kainim and the Biskerov assumes that's not a milah bezmana. So if machlokes achroinim, if Avraham Avinu was milah at 99 on Yom Kippur on Pesach, was that a did of a milah bezmana to which you would have say?
One was the other one was what he accepted upon.
That's his answer. That's exactly his answer.
Because, you say
that's
his answer. The Torah was created before, so the mitzvah was always on the eighth day. So he just learned about it.
That's a very long discussion. That goes back to the old child. Why didn't Avraham Avinu give himself a bris earlier?
Because he knew about it, but he wouldn't do it because he wanted to be mitzvah.
Okay, so this is all back. This is a very long discussion. For Avraham Avinu's bris was considered mila shleib esmana and mila bezman. Okay, I thought that was just there for fun. Okay, now back to the real sugi over here. But with Chayyim, we have a very strong kasha. What happened to the rule of mitoich? We know that when it comes to Yom Tov, there's a principle called mitoich shehotra letzarech, hotra shaloi letzarech. So if you say like that, so why can I justify doing a mila shaloi bezmanoi under the banner of mitoich? Mitoich, I'm allowed to shecht an animal to eat the meat, so I'm allowed to shecht the baby. So the shaila is, do we say mitoich even on something which wouldn't be a physical pleasure? So there's a Taisvis in Bay. I didn't put it on this week's Ma'amar Kamis, I put it on last week's Ma'amar Kamis. Taisvis writes, and the Be'er Halacha quotes on the Halacha, what about if you have a Miloy Bizmanu? Miloy Bizmanu. 8 day falls out on Yom Tov. Say, of course you do the Miloy. Why? Says Taisvis, because of Mitoich. Mitoich shehotra chabura letzarech, hotra shalo letzarech. So what do you see from Taisvis? You see that what? That even though something that's just a spiritual benefit, and there's no physical pleasure of the baby getting a meal, it's a spiritual mitzvah. That's enough to say mitoich. So if that's enough to say mitoich, so why don't you say mitoich when it's shaloi bezman?
What?
So we're learning, we were medayik from Rashi, that Rashi learned the reason why it's mutter is because b'yoy mafilu b'shabbos. But there are those who learn not like that. There are those that learn that the reason why a mila b'yom Pontiff is Doiche is not because of B'yoyim Afilu B'Shabbos, it's because of Mitoich.
Oh, they so, don't like the Pasuk?
They'd rather have Mitoich. Because the Pasuk is written by Shabbos.
And you don't learn therefore.
You could, but you don't have Mitoich by Shabbos. You have Mitoich by Yom Tov. I don't need to come on to the Pasuk. Rabbeinu Chananel says it is.
Right.
Rabbeinu Chananel says like that. Yeah. Rabbeinu Chananel says Mefurish that Amila Bizmana is Doich Yom Tov because Shabbos, B'yam HaShabbos, Kavachem El Yom Tov. But Rabbi Kiveger in another place says not like that.
Why use Mitoich? It's a Sfarah, it's a Machlokas.
Doesn't make sense. Okay. And fear. But the only question is if you're going to say it by Mila Bizmani, why don't you say it by Mila Shalei Bizmani? It's the same Mitoich. Why don't you say Mitoich Shalei Bizmani and Mila Shalei Biyamtif, Shalei Bizmani, and Bimata the Mila also? So if you're going to, again, Bishlam, if you tell me that the Heter to do a Mila on Yamtif is not because of Mitoich, but it's only because of a Pasuk, fine, if a Kup Shah. But if you go like many Achorim assume that the Heter to do Mila on Yamtif is because of Mitoich, say the same Mitoich Shalei, Mitoich is true on Shalei Bizmani also. So if you look over in the Sefer Oitzer Habris, the Sefer Oitzer Habris at number 11, he above earns his kash. It's not his kash. The Rishayim asks his kash. Umashli omru l'gabi milu shle b'zman b'yomtev mitoich shehutra chavola b'yomtev l'tzarech ha'yichol nefesh hotanami shle l'tzarech. Now first of all, right off the bat, you have to ask yourself, this is only a kasha if you're assuming that mila violates chabura. If mila is a violation of other of the lametes melachas, not every one of the lametes melachas has mitoich. So that's the first thing you have to know. We'll get to that. Blineda next week. We'll see.
Also, does the mitoch have to be the same ones for shchita, ones for mila? Meaning
mila is shchita. That's the issur. The issur shchita. Mila is shchita.
Right.
According to many rishonim. So that's the same mitoch.
Not making a chabur.
What the issur making chabur is shchita. That's what the issur is. So if I'm allowed to do a shchita, so I'm allowed to do this. What's the difference? So
that's all. I'm going to make sure I clarify because I made a mistake. So mitoch means since it was a
Is mutter l'tzayrich?
That's
right.
So it's mutter for something that's not okay.
Correct. Question is, how broad does that go? That's a machlokes. So the Ramban, he quotes over here Ramban. He writes over the Ramban. Tears to this Ramban later on. That tam mishum de'inonu matir ma'idei svaros mitoich el davar hashava l'chol nefesh. We all know this is the whole sugi with showering. We spoke about this before. It has to be something that everyone gets benefit out of. The hachi amina mitoich shochu malachas achilu shochu chol nefesh v'nam malachas kol hanosh yitzarich chol nefesh. He has to be something that everyone gets benefit out of. Let's say, for example, Sefer Torah Likros. You're allowed to take out a Sefer Torah to read because people like reading books. So that's considered a hutra letzorich. It's just mitzvah. It's not a physical pleasure, it's mitzvah. It's not everyone enjoys mitzvahs. People like physical pleasures.
Taking you out of the status of being an oral, doesn't that allow you to eat certain foods?
Yes.
So it's really an ochel nefesh.
Maybe. Good.
Ultimately, right?
The lashon of the Ramban is it doesn't do anything for your body. So you're saying it does, because now I can eat truma. If the baby can now eat truma.
Okay.
Yeah.
This only applies to mitzvah shel
bizmana? Oh, right. So the kash is so good. So MK, you can't say mitoich by bizmana either. Good. So that's what I want to get to. So memela. Actually, now we're gonna have to leave that for next week. So Mezer Shem, next week we'll try to figure out why don't you say? Can you say mitoich on Yom Tov for a mila bizmanei lefizeh? According to this, you can't say it even by a mila bizmanei. And then Belineda, we're gonna move on after this to a new sugi. We're gonna start talking about the famous machloekis rishayim about tzitzit hamaakvin. It's a mila. We're gonna turn the page and get to kuflam gimel on the base. We're gonna cover some massive ground.
What's the
Yomi? Yeah, almost.
Yom Shmini. Why do we even need?